إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. Today inshallah we will talk about the importance of shukr, which is the first right among the huququllah, among the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shukr. And the way to do that shukr, first and foremost, is to worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not to join anyone in his worship, not to join anyone in asking for help from him. To understand that the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore never to obey anyone in anything if that command from the other is against a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be thankful to Allah that He taught us the truth and honored us by allowing us to worship Him and not His creatures as the majority of the world does. I remind myself and I ask you to reflect on this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I have not created the jinn and the human beings for any purpose other than to worship me. Just think about it, just reflect on the Quran. It is very, very important that we reflect on the Quran. So just think about this and reflect. In the religions of the world which have caste systems, in Islam there is no caste system. The caste systems that people have created in Islam are haram and they are against the Quran and Sunnah, and those who created those caste systems will answer for them on the Day of Judgment. But the religions which have caste system, tell me which caste is considered to be the highest? In Hinduism, which is the highest caste? Brahmins. Who are they? Who are they? What is their work, man? What is their work? Read my lips. What is the work of a priest? To worship. To worship. In their system, they worship on behalf of the people. In our system, there is no priesthood. So each one of us has to do our own job. Yes? The highest caste is the people who worship Allah. In every religion. They don't worship Allah in the way that Allah should be worshipped. They don't use the word that they should use. They don't worship Allah because they recognize Allah. But what are they doing? Eventually, essentially, what are they doing? They're worshipping God. People who worship God are supposed to be the highest in the caste system. Yes? Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this honor to all of mankind. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ. Allah did not say, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. No. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ. Allah gave this honor to all of mankind. And Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you and me the tawfiq and gave the Muslims the tawfiq to accept this honor and to worship Him. Reflect that if instead of saying that I have created mankind to worship me, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said I had created you to remove the garbage from the earth, the purpose of your creation is to clean garbage. Yes? What would we have been doing? We would have been cleaning latrines and toilets all our lives, and we would have been fulfilling the purpose of our creation. But what kind of life would that be? Did you ever think of this? We see worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a burden on ours. Abba, namaz padna hai. So go clean a toilet instead. Then you understand what is the real value of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made us, made the purpose of our creation anything else. We would have been fulfilling the purpose of the creation. Not that we were disobeying, we were fulfilling the purpose of the creation. But it would be a job which would be nasty and lousy and difficult. But Allah did not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the purpose of your creation is to worship me. come into the beautiful masajid of Allah, come into the beautiful atmosphere of the nuzul of the malaika, come wearing good clothes, come dressed in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khudu zinatukum, come in a good state and worship me and your job is over. Somebody asked Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi, how is it you are so disconnected with the world, with worldly life? And Hasan al-Basri recited this ayah of Surah Dariyat. He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me my purpose of my being and purpose of my existence is to worship Him. I worship Him. He said, don't worry, I am not asking you to feed me. I am not asking you. I feed you with my strength. He said, I leave Allah to do His job and I do my job. Reflect on this and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this as the purpose of our creation. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ibrahim, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and remember when your Rabb proclaimed, if you give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will give you more of my blessings. But if you are thankless, if you are disbelievers, or if you are believers but thankless, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, my punishment is indeed severe. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us reflect, what do we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in many places in the Quran by describing for us and by alerting us and by drawing our attention to His ni'mat, to His blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان ألا تطغوا في الميزان وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself by His glorious name, by His personal name, Ar-Rahman. And who is Ar-Rahman? Allama al-Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself as the teacher of the Qur'an. He is Ar-Rahman and He taught Qur'an. He created man, He taught him eloquent speech. The sun and the moon run on their fixed courses, calculated with measured stages for each. And the herbs and stars and trees, all they prostrate and they make sujood to Allah. And the heaven He raised high and He set up the balance in order that you may not transgress. And observe the weight with equity, do justice, and do not make the balance deficient. This does not refer only to weighing things. It refers to the whole of life. What is our balance of life? What do we do in terms of the balance of life? And the earth He has put for the creatures, and therein are fruits, date palms producing sheathed fruit stalks, and also corn with its leaves and stalk for fodder, and sweet scented plants. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this ayah, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the blessings of your Rabb will you both, jinn and men, deny? And this ayah has come in the surah 30 something times. How many times has it come? 31 times. Jazakumullah khair. These are all my experts on Surah Ar-Rahman, mashallah. 31 times. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once recited the surah, the whole surah to his sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, and they all listened to him. I have said this many, many times, and inshallah may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and give us this. The thing that I envy the sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, the most is that they heard the Quran in the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tilawatil Quran bisawti Muhammad ibn Abdullah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we listen to the Quran in the voice of this Qari and that Qari. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and increase them in hasanat and accept their recitations. But what of the recitation of the one who received the kalam? My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the Quran was first revealed as a spoken word. The Quran was revealed as a spoken word, not as a written word. The people who first heard the Quran, the people who Islam entered their hearts, it entered their hearts through their ears. Because they heard the Quran. They heard the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They heard the recitation of the other Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him and he said, recite some Quran for me. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I recite for you? You are the one who received this kalam. How can I recite this kalam for you? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to listen to your recitation. This is the honor that Allah has given Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to listen to his recitation. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the Surah Ar-Rahman to his Sahaba and they listened to him. And when he finished, he asked them, he said, are you not going to respond? Are you not going to say anything? And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what should we say? What should we say? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I recited this Surah to the jinn, he said, every time I said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, the jinn responded, and they said, لَا بِشَيِّمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبُ. They said, لَا بِشَيِّمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبُ. They said, we do not deny any of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not deny anything from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, every time I said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, the jinn responded and said, لَا بِشَيِّمْ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبُ. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not come just to be recited or read for sawab or listened to for sawab. It came for us to understand. It came for us to respond to. When Allah asks a question, it is the intention of the kalam of Allah Jalla wa Ala that we respond to this question. When Allah tells us reflect, it is our job to reflect so that we change our lives and make them in keeping with His majesty and grace. Let us not recite the kalam like as if it's some dead thing. The kalam of Allah is alive. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive. When we read the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the recitation of many of his sahaba. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu was once praying in Masjid al-Nabawi and he was reciting Quran in a voice that was audible. And when he finished, when he made salam, he realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing behind him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah bless you, your recitation is very beautiful. He said, ya Rasulullah, if I knew that you were listening to me, I would have made it even more beautiful. The Sahaba liked for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to listen to them. And I always make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it for us, that one day we will all gather together in Jannah and listen to the recitation of the Kalam of Allah with Sauti Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. But to do that, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that we have to create two things. One, a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Kalam. And two, a love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sunnah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, only those who love me will be with me. And the sign of love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to follow his Sunnah. So if you do not follow his Sunnah, Allah only knows where you will be. I do not say you will be here or there. Allah knows where you will be. But I can say with certainty, inshallah, from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you follow his Sunnah, inshallah, you and I will be with him. And which hadith is this? This hadith is where a sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, ya Rasulullah, please make dua. That in Jannah, I am with you. I am one of your companions. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what have you done for this? He actually, no, this is one of the, he asked, the sahabi asked him, ya Rasulullah, when is the day of judgment? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what have you done for this? Why are you asking this question? And the sahabi said, ya Rasulullah, I have no amal that I can talk about. But I love Allah and I love his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then you will be with those you love. And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain who were listening to him, they said, we were never happier than on that day. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will be with those you love. And the sign of love for Allah is ittiba of the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ رَحِيمٌ. Say to those who claim to love Allah, do my ittiba, imitate me, follow me. And then what will happen? Allah will love you. And if Allah loves you, what happens? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah will forgive your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving and all merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in many other places in the Quran the importance of shukr. I'm not going to mention all those places. There are many places. Read and find out for yourself. But only one thing I will tell you, which is a place where we read this in every rakat in Salah. In Surah Al-Fatiha. Just reflect and think. What were the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used? What were the attributes, which sifat of his did he mention before he reminded us about the Day of Judgment? Before Maliki Yawmiddin, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Which sifat, how did he introduce himself before he said Maliki Yawmiddin? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Reflect and think about this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha had said, Al-Qahhar wal-Jabbar, Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah could not have said this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had used his sifat of Jalal, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Al-Qahhar wal-Jabbar wal-Muntaqim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah could not have said this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that, and if a Muslim read that in Salah or read that anywhere, what would be his state with regard to fear in his heart, with regard to a sense of terror of what will happen to him on the Day of Judgment? But of course, since most Muslims don't care one way or the other what is said, because they don't even understand what is said, they don't reflect on what it said, so I don't think it will make any difference. But I'm talking about those Muslims who do think, and who do read and who do understand Because only they can value the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke when he said this surah. The others cannot value because they have no understanding. We're talking about the ones who have understanding, and the ones who don't have understanding, get understanding before the curtain lifts and you see the face of Malakul Maut, when you will have complete understanding. But on that day, that understanding will do no good. But those who understand and reflect, please reflect, should we not thank Allah Jalla wa'ala that He first reminded us about His mercy? He first reminded us about the extent of His mercy and the duration of His mercy before He reminded us about the Day of Judgment. He reminded of His mercy so that we can rely on His mercy and we can take comfort from His mercy. That on the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah, His mercy will overcome His anger. We can rely on His mercy, inshaAllah, that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us our sins. We can rely on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold us accountable for what we did. But remember, all of this applies to the things we do without knowledge, the things we do out of forgetfulness, the things we do out of weakness and we make tawbah. This does not apply to things we do knowing that they are wrong. It does not apply to things we do knowing that they are wrong and we make no effort to make tawbah. We know something is haram, but we deliberately do it, and we don't do it just once. We do it again and again and again and again, and we take pride in it, and we show off, and we make no tawbah. I am nobody to deny you the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still wants to forgive you and enter you into Jannatul Firdausul A'la and give you the company of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He has the right to do that. He has the quwwat and taqat to do that. But I can only tell you that the justice of Allah is that He will not put a person who deliberately commits haram alongside Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. This would be gross injustice if Allah did that. Allah may and will, and we ask Allah to put all those who do wrong but who make tawbah along with the sahaba of Allah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But somebody who lives in sin, somebody who does haram deliberately and does not make tawbah, if he feels that he or she is going to have the company of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, anam Allahu alayhim min anabiyyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada'i wa salihin. And if he thinks that he is or she is going to be with them, then if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that, I am nobody to deny that. But if you ask me, what is the likelihood of that happening? I will say it is the same likelihood of the lifespan of a snowball in hell. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith told us that there was a man among the people of the past who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glorified Him in the following words. He said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. This hadith is quoted in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this man praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these words. He said, Rabbi lakal hamd kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik wa azimi sultanik. He said, O my Rabb, all praise and all thanks is for You in keeping with the grace and majesty and glory of Your glorious countenance and in keeping with the glory and majesty and power and extent of Your kingdom. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the recording angels had never heard these words before. They had never heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being praised in these words before. So they went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they asked, O our Rabb, how are we and what are we to write as the reward for these words of praise? And remember, whenever you hear a hadith like this, there is no need to get confused and say, why does the angel have to go and tell Allah what happened? Doesn't Allah know? Allah knows. Allah not only knows what this slave was going what this slave had said, Allah even knew what this slave was going to say before he said it. So why does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention these things? There are many hadiths like this, where the angels went to Allah and Allah asked them, what did you see, and so on and so forth. Why are these words used? These words are used because, again, of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angels not because he knows, but because he wants to make those angels as witnesses in favor of his slaves, who he will reward on the day of judgment. And that is the reason for asking. What did my slave say? He said such and such. Why? Because on the day of judgment, when this will be asked, who was witness to this? Ya Rabbal Alameen, these malaika were witness to this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked those angels, what did my slave say? And they said, he said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. And they said, Ya Rabbana, what are we supposed to record? How many hasanat, what kind of rewards are we supposed to record for these words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, write down the words of my slave just as he said them, and I will reward him in keeping with my majesty and my grace. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire in our hearts words that will please him, and words that where we can thank him in a way that pleases him, so that these words become a witness in our favor on the day of judgment. I want to ask you to do some homework with regard to the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you, when you go back today, before you go to bed tonight, I want you to sit with a piece of paper and write down one by one, list all the things that you have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. All the blessings that Allah has given you, for which you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to give you a hint about what kinds of things you might like to write. You might like to write that you want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he did not put nerve endings in your nails so that you can clip your nails without having to be hospitalized. Can you imagine what would have happened? If nerve endings were right to the end of the nails, every time you needed to cut your nails, you would have had to go under anesthesia in hospital, and a doctor, surgeon would have had to do surgical cutting of your nails. Same thing applies to your hair as well. Is this not something to thank Allah for? That he did this with your nails? Minute details. Is it not necessary for us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he did not give us complete control over our bodies? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say you can live as long as you can breathe. I'm giving breathing into your control. As long as you can breathe, you can remain alive. What would have happened? Most of us would be dead by tomorrow morning. Because the moment you slept, the moment you drowsed, you would be finished. The breathing would stop. Because breathing becomes a conscious action. Like lifting your hand. You can only lift your hand if you want to lift your hand. Your hand won't lift by itself. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm just giving you some hints, I don't want to go into all the details of all the involuntary processes in our system, the entire digestive process, the entire process of blood circulation, and so on and so on. But it applies to all of those things. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that you can only eliminate those toxins from your blood as you wish? What would we do? Should we not thank Allah for this? Yes or no? What about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a way of speaking to him? A way of talking to him? What if Allah had never given us this? That you can't talk to Allah? Just think about this. Reflect on these things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not given us a way of speaking to him, what would you and I do? Not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a way of speaking to him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, when you speak to me, I hear you and I respond. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Allah said, ask me and I will give you. Should you not thank Allah? Just thank Allah for this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only gave us a way of speaking to him, but he also said, I respond. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you speak, I want to see, speak. Who cares? Who are you? You are less than a cockroach. What are you? A rich cockroach? Gold-plated cockroach is still a cockroach. You know what I'm saying? Those of you who think you have your money, those of you who think you have wealth and power and whatnot, think about it. At best, you are a rich cockroach. Eh? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A rich cockroach standing in opposition to Jalla wa Ala, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And said, you made this haram, but for me it is halal. You said, don't do this, but who cares? You want and I also want. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Now, brothers and sisters, and we consider ourselves to be educated. MashaAllah, what kind of education is this which blinds you to your Rabb? It's not education, it is the worst of jahalat. You would have been much better off to be completely uneducated, living naked in the middle of a Brazilian rainforest, because if you had died, you would have died on your fitrah. Allah would have given you Jannah, inshallah. Because nobody came to you, nothing. You lived like an animal in the middle of the Amazon rainforest and some jaguar ate you or something. You know what I'm saying? On the day of judgment, you would be much better off. Much better off than somebody like you and me who has education, who has aqal, which Allah has given, but we don't thank Him. Who has salim and sabit limbs and strength and health. Ask those who are paraplegic, what is the value of this? Ask those people who have the parents of children who have mental illnesses. What is the value of having a child without mental? Did you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those of you who have children, did you actually make dua and say, oh Allah, give me a child who is beautiful, who is good looking, who is handsome, who is aqalman, who has intelligence, who has this. Did you make all this dua? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will give you a child exactly as you want, what would happen? Every single human being born would have been born with problems. Because no one can make a dua for all the different things that are required. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives without asking. Allah gives to those who don't ask. But we don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eh? So make a list. Make a list of all the things that you have to thank Allah jalla wa ala for. And in tahajjud, stand from today till the last day you live. And in tahajjud, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one by one by one. Karega bhai? Inshallah. Imagine, if you do that, the least that will happen is that you will pray tahajjud till your last day without making it qada. That alone is sufficient, inshallah, for us. And then of course, if you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more. Before I end, I must talk about the greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that? The ability to make a U-turn. The permission to make a U-turn. You don't have to drive until you get to the exit. It's not to say once you are on the highway, no way of getting off. No, no, no. You can make a U-turn. What is that U-turn? Tawbah. Well, istighfar. Istighfar is to ask for the forgiveness of Allah. Tawbah is to turn towards Allah. How do you turn towards Allah? By doing what Allah ordered. Istighfar is to ask forgiveness for what happened in the past. Tawbah is to change the life going forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Allah said, O you who believe, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance. They came to Nuh alayhi salam when they had difficulties, his people. And they said, please help us. And Nuh alayhi salam said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. He said, make istighfar to your Rabb. Verily he is the one who forgives. And what will happen if he forgives? وَيُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He said, when you turn to him, ask forgiveness, he will forgive you. And then he will send on you rain and he will increase you in your wealth and your children and so on. The benefits of tawbah is alleviation of suffering in this worldly life. And inshallah in the akhirah, Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us And he said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this ayah is meant for those who lived their life in sin, and now at the point of making tawbah, shaitan is trying to deviate them, and shaitan is saying, Allah will never forgive you. You have done too much wrong. Allah will never forgive you. And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, say, O my ibad, say, O my slaves, ya ibadi, who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil deeds and sins, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Truly, He is Ghafoor Rahim. He is all forgiving and all merciful. Allah will forgive for whom? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Find me one place where Allah will forgive without asking forgiveness. I'm not talking about the minor sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive minor sins also when people do actions of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives minor sins when we make wudu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins when in salah we say Sami'allahu liman hamida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins. When the people say Rabbana wa lakal hamd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins. When you say Ameen after Suratul Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins. But what are we mentioning? What are all these examples about whom? Somebody who's sitting in a disco? Somebody who's on a race course? Or somebody who's praying? Which one? Suratul Fatiha itself is tawbah. Suratul Fatiha itself is tawbah. Inshallah, in another Jummah, there's no time today to go into the details. We'll look at that in another Jummah, inshallah. But Surah Fatiha itself is tawbah. But for major sins, leaving salah is a major sin. Gambling is a major sin. Of any kind of gambling is a major sin. And so on and so on. People ask wonderful questions. Just in Kuwait, I was there last night, day before yesterday when I was in Kuwait. Last lecture that we had, I gave a lecture on marriage, and there was another sheikh who was giving a lecture on what is halal and haram. And Muslim audience, entire Muslim audience, somebody sends a question, is pig haram? So, mashallah. MashaAllah. Even the questions. The Muslims have got used to today talking useless things. I was giving one talk on the future strategies for the Muslim Ummah. And somebody sent me a question. And it was in Urdu. So I'll tell you what it said in Urdu and I'll translate it for my brothers who don't understand Urdu. The question was, اگر یہ ہمارا دین حق ہے تو اختلافات کیوں ہیں اور اگر اختلافات حق ہیں تو پھر یہ دین حق ہے کی نہیں. I said, MashaAllah, this should go down in the annals of history as the great existential philosophical question. So I told him, please spend the rest of your life answering this question, leave me out of it. He says, if this deen is true, why are there اختلافات, differences of opinion? And if the differences are true, then is this deen true or not? This is a question being asked to me by a Muslim. Can you imagine that people have nothing better to do? They have nothing better to do than to all this rubbish. There's a big poster in the gym in Talwalkar's. It says, shut up and train. Huh? Those of you who go to Talwalkar's, you know this poster, right? The big poster there. Shut up and train. I think we should tell people this. Just shut up and do what you're supposed to do. I mean, don't ask these all rubbishy questions. This and this and this. So shut up and pray. Shut up and do what you're supposed to do. Shut up and get out of halal. Get out of haram. Shut up and do halal. I mean, what is to be done? La hawla quwwata illa billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make tawbah. Do not despair of the rahmah of Allah. No matter what you have been doing, make tawbah. And inshallah, Allah Jalla wa Ala will forgive you straight away. And then we see the glory and majesty of Rabbul Alameen. What did he say? Did he say, I will forgive and that's it? Forgive and forget? No. What did he say? Yes, Shavash. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila salihan fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except for those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their sins into good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. Ajeeb aaya. And how can you make sure? I bhai tab dua karta hai, Allah, aapka shukr main ada kar hi nahi sakta. I make dua. I say, oh Allah, I cannot thank you. Just give me the words. And you know what is in my heart. How do you thank a Rabb? Did we ask for this? Do you think any sane person will even ask for? Do you think, seriously, think about this. Supposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you know, I forgive you, forgiving your sins. Now tell me, what do you want? Will anyone ever even dream or dare to say, you know what, please convert them all into good deeds? isn't it totally crazy? I mean, if I was given, at least, I don't know about you, but at least if I was given the choice, I wouldn't dare say that. I would say, my God, my sins are forgiven, forgotten, page is clean, alhamdulillah, now get out of there, try and keep your life clean, don't get back into that position, and that would be the best, yes? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. Ta'ala Allahul Malikul Haqqu la ilaha illa huwa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. Allah to dega to apni shan ke mutabak dega, bhai, tumhari hamari akal ke mutabak nahi dega. Allah will give in keeping with His majesty. And it is not the majesty of the king that He sends away somebody empty-handed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert the sins into good deeds. Many of you have heard me talk about the famous story of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. When this ayah was revealed in Surah al-Furqan, Umar ibn al-Khattab announced, he said, I am the best of you. So the sahaba said, well, you know, we are all trying to get there. I mean, how do you make this statement? So he said, did you not hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّيَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. He said, I was the worst of you. Nobody committed as many sins as me. So now all of them have been converted into good deeds and I am the best of you. Now this is not encouragement for you to continue in sin and then later on, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability to make tawbah before we die. Allahumma arzuqna tawba qabla al-maut wa shahada 'inda al-maut wa maghfira ba'da al-maut. May Allah give us the tawfiq and the ability to make tawba before we die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death as shuhada fi sabilillah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us His forgiveness when we are dead and after we are dead. My brothers and sisters, to end, I remind myself of three important things if we want to make the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one is be conscious of and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounties. And I already mentioned to you, make a list and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, make tawbah for all mistakes. And let us do it right now. Right now, we do not know as we sit here whether we will have the life to be able to pray Salatul Jummah. We don't know this. Inshallah, if we die, it will be a good death because you have come into the masjid to pray Jummah, you are in wudu, you are sitting in masjid, waiting for salah, you are therefore in a state of salah, and if you die, what more can we ask? But the point I'm saying is, make tawbah. Immediately make tawbah. And the third thing is, never use the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in opposition to Him. Because to use something which someone has given you against that same person is treason. It's treason. Yes or no? You take from Allah and you want to use it against Allah? This is treason. You want to go somewhere which is haram? Find the strength for it from somewhere other than Allah. Don't use the strength that Allah gave you. Because you have no right to use that strength in order to commit haram because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you that strength. You want to listen to something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited? Go and find ears and the sense of hearing from somewhere else and use that. You have no right to use the hearing and the sense of hearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you in order to listen to something which He has prohibited. You want to look at something haram? Don't use these eyes. And don't use this eyesight, because Allah has the power to take it away if He wants. Don't play games with Allah. Do not play games with Allah. If you go towards haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to make you drive into a concrete barrier instead of reaching the place of haram. If you are walking towards haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to strike you down with paralysis, and you will not move a step after that. If you are looking at haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to take away your and my eyesight. If we are hearing haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to make us deaf forever. Don't play games with Allah. Don't challenge Allah. Thank Allah and thank Allah and thank Allah. And when shaitan comes and whispers into your ears, tell shaitan, don't tell me, find me some other strength from somewhere, then I will do it. And meanwhile, get out. Remember, when you lift your hand against the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power that to make it so that you never lift your hand again. Don't play games. A man came and sat down to eat when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was eating, and he used his left hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, don't use your left hand, use your right hand. So he used his left hand again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not use your left hand, use your right hand. Third time, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, do not use your left hand, use your right hand, the man said, my right hand does not lift. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so be it. And the man's right hand became paralyzed. He could never lift his right hand for the rest of his life. He said it out of arrogance. There was nothing wrong with his hand. He said it out of arrogance. There was nothing wrong with his hand. He said, I can't lift my right hand. Rasulullah said, so be it. So when you are lifting your hands to break the sunnah of Rasulullah, remember this. I want to end with asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and blessing for all of us. I want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness for us. I want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make tawbah, to accept our tawbah, and to keep us always in a state of sujood with shukr. A state of sajda is not only in salah, it is to live in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all our lives. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our entire life a life in the state of sajda before His arsh. Jalla wa ala wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.